this gentleman, Lloyd is his last name, who was in Liberia. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. So, you know, my mind is really all over the place here. But the reason why I wanted to sing this hymn is I just like to go over it again. And it says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. And that is a fundamentally important need of our hearts, to never lose the sense of the wonder of the Lord's love for us and his acceptance of us. Critically important. This fellow, Lloyd, in Liberia, and I have to be careful because of my own reactions to things, married, children, commended to the Lord's work from an assembly, doesn't really matter from where, but from the United States. And has been in Liberia for many, many years. They came back during the COVID thing because of problems with COVID and so on, and stayed here for a while and then went back with his wife. But lo and behold, and again, I'm simply saying what is said. I don't know this for a fact. I don't know the man. I wasn't there. He got involved with a Liberian woman, married her. So here he is married, and he marries another woman there, marries a woman there in their ceremonies and so on, how they do it there. All the while, he's commended to the Lord's work. He's a missionary there. And the woman gets pregnant. And when she gets pregnant, one thing leads to another. And in the fear of being discovered, being found out, he attempts to murder. So, you know, CMML puts out a letter. The assembly commending him puts out their statement. Obviously, this is horrible. What a tragedy. Amazing. So he doesn't succeed in killing the woman, but everything blows up. Police, he's arrested. He's in prison there. His wife, his children are over here. And it makes you think to yourself, how could somebody do something like that? And that's part of where I'm going with this. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you know, it's interesting that when things like this happen, immediately you have, you know, the assembly and, you know, the organizations, it's kind of like, you know, washing your hands of this, you know, and the whole focus of the blame and is on that person, and that person has done this, and because that person has done this, we're withholding commendation, we're with, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. I mean, certainly it needs to be done. And discipline obviously needs to be done and so on. But the point is that it's almost like if it's a system in which, and I know that's an extreme behavior and an extreme act, you know, that's horrendous. But when we find ourselves in a culture, in a system of assemblies, our churches, and our missionary organizations, that missionaries don't have these problems. that Christians don't have these problems and Christians aren't capable of these problems, that's bad. That's a bad, bad thing. It's dangerous. And immediately, you know, everybody starts talking about that individual, and look what this person has done, and look what this person has done. How horrible. But you know, the Word of God, and specifically even with the Lord's Supper, the instruction of God's Word in the Lord's Supper is, let every person examine themselves. Let every person examine themselves. And I find that that is very important, isn't it? And God keep us and God protect us from that tendency to, well, we're Christians. And because we're Christians, we're better than they are. And we're Christians. And because we're Christians, you know, like, Christians don't do things like that. Christians don't talk like that. Christians don't. That's a lie. That's not true. Christians are fallen human beings. Redeemed. Oh, thank God we're redeemed. We have the Spirit of God. Oh, thank God we have the Spirit of God. But sanctification, doing good, doing right, being who we should be, living by faith, obeying the Word of God doesn't happen automatically. It's not an automatic. I believe that a couple of weeks ago I spoke about Noah. And did I hear, or does that ring a bell, Noah? Well, Noah, he is in many ways a very important figure for us. Because what Noah went through in the ark and through the flood is in the New Testament referenced as what has been done for us in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Noah, in his day, God provided an ark for him, because that ark that God provided was God's provision for Noah's salvation and his family, obviously. So that ark was designed of God in the wisdom of God to be able to go through the judgment and bear the judgment. And those who were inside that ark, because they were inside the ark, could go through that judgment. Noah wasn't saved from the judgment. Noah had to go through the judgment. What saved Noah was the ark. The ark is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only he could endure the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and survive it. And not just survive it, so to speak, but come out alive on the other side. On that cross, he said, "It is finished. It's done. It's over." And now the New Testament talks of us and says of us that if we are in Christ, and that's the importance, isn't it? You must be in Christ. And now it tells us, of us believers, that we're not saved from the judgment. We're saved through the judgment. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. Paul will go on and say it this way: those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts thereof. And he would also say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, we're people who have been saved through the judgment of God in Christ. Just like Noah was saved through the judgment of God in the ark. And he came out after the judgment alive on the other side. It's a picture of resurrection. Certainly resurrection is implied in it. And it's also coming out like baptism, which now Peter in the New Testament will talk about the ark and going through the water and coming out the other side as baptism. Our baptism that saves us. Being baptized into Christ. Being baptized into his death, into his burial, and into his resurrection. Wonderful. And so now, in that sense, when Noah came out of the ark, it was a new world. It was brand new. And in New Testament terminology, he came out of the ark to walk in newness of life. It was a new life. A life with judgment past. And now the responsibility that God gave to Noah, having come through that judgment into newness of life, was to judge himself. And that responsibility of self-judgment was committed to Noah. In fact, that's the portion in the area of Scripture where you have the statement regarding capital punishment. Whosoever taketh man's life, or sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed. So, in that sense, humanity, and we remember that all humanity except for those in the ark perished. But that new humanity that came forth from that ark carried the solemn responsibility. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. Why is there no condemnation? Because we've already passed through the judgment. It's over. It's finished. And we've been raised together with Christ in newness of life, alive unto God. And now, the responsibility of people like that, that there is therefore no condemnation, is to judge themselves. That's very important, isn't it? So, why do I bring Noah in? Because, well, what happened to Noah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the sin was grievous, wasn't it? I mean, he brought ill repute to the name of God and to the people of God. And that makes me think of this man, Lloyd. And you ought to hear what they're saying in Liberia about white people and these white missionaries. And I'll say two letters, MF, we don't need them here. Horrible, isn't it? But it's a reality that the failure of God's people, the redeemed, have brought reproach on the name of God all throughout, since Noah. What about David? And what did he specifically said about David? You have caused my enemy to blaspheme, slander my name because of his sin. What's my emphasis? My emphasis is, it is a good thing when we get into Hebrews 13, and it says, it is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. Grace. This grace of God Now, I want to go and read one verse in one in Psalm, and it's Psalm 130 and verse 4. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm and verse. And it says this. Well, let me read verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Isn't that tremendous? Do you have a different translation? It says it that way. But there is forgiveness with thee. For what purpose? That we might learn to fear the Lord. And that word fear is to respect and reverence. It is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. The grace of God teaches that denying ungodliness, it's teaching us we should live righteously and soberly, but it's not automatic. The fact that someone is born again, it's not automatic what they're capable of. So Hebrews 13, I want to read that verse again. Hebrews 13. And this type of behavior, let brotherly love continue. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Then the exhortation with regard to sexual immorality, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And obviously that statement is made because Christians suffer with what kind of sins? Sexual sin. It's real, isn't it? It's real. And so the Christian community needs to be encouraged and exhorted to maintain marriage and have a high regard for marriage and the provision of God in marriage. Now you tell me, let brotherly love continue in the local church. What about marital love? What if I said, let marital love continue? Have you had problems with marital love? Well, if anybody says no, you're a liar. And if, you know, you don't think you're a liar, you're so self-deluded. It's not good. It's not good. What a challenge this is, isn't it? It's not automatic. And I tell you, my marriage, I turned 70 on the day Lee gets his heart fixed. And in many ways, I'm more concerned about my marriage now at my age, after being married 47 years, than I was 30 years ago. Because God, it's not automatic, is it? And even in this letter to the Hebrews, that warning, be careful with a profane person, lest there be a root of bitterness inside, some dissatisfaction. It's easy, it can happen, isn't it? And all of a sudden, I lose sense of the wonder of the wealth of the gospel, of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. This hymn again affected me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. What a blessing. What a blessing. So, I react to believers, Christians, that like to portray that appearance of, look how good I am. Look how well I'm doing. Like to portray that appearance of, you know, well, I'm a missionary. I'm a commended worker. Look at me. Well, it's not being a missionary that solves the problem. I mean, Noah was a missionary. It's not being a commended worker that solves the problem. And I suggest that, aside from that, whenever we get it into our heads and that feeling starts coming up, look how well I'm doing. You're in the grip of the sphere of great danger. And I think of the Lord's Supper, and I think of the loaf and the cup, and I think of them speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that loaf and that cup speak of what He did for me. For me. And, you know, I react against a tendency to come to the Lord's Supper and come to the Lord's Supper and the way we carry ourselves and the way we... It's almost like an elephant in the room that's there, that everyone there is wanting to put an appearance of, look how well I'm doing. And that's deadly. It's not good. It's not good. And I would even, and I know from my own heart, my own life, I would even say that if I'm there and what is coming over me is, look how well I'm doing, Lord. Look what I do for You. It diminishes my appreciation for the reality of what He's done for me. And there's something which I think is important, and that is that we tend to talk about sin as if that belonged in our unconverted days. And I understand that, in a sense, that's true. But I didn't stop sinning when I got converted. And the problem of me sinning against the Lord is still a problem for me as a Christian. And if I have that ongoing struggle and fight, and I still sin against Him, how can I allow myself to feel I'm better than that person that's not a believer, that's not converted, that's out in the world? Oh, God, help us from that. So, I'm driving at something that, and I'm not going to reveal who her identity is, but this is a 75-year-old sister in the Lord. And it was her birthday, and they invited her to her birth, you know, for a celebration. She had a wonderful celebration. She professed to be saved probably when she was 8, 9, 10 years old. Grew up in a Christian home. And as she is giving thanks to the family for her her birthday celebration, everything everyone did for her. She writes this, "Thank you, Mike. I've had so much fun and so many wonderful calls. I'm sorry I missed yours." And then she goes on to say, "I'm going to Jean and Jordan's for supper and should be home in the evening. Hope we can chat then." And she goes, "God is so good. I am blessed beyond measure. One of the greatest blessings I have had this year was the true revelation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I struggled so much with my own inadequacies, so hard to rest in the finished work of Christ, when my experience taught me otherwise as far as my problems. Then it was an amazing revelation to know grace secured my position in Christ. That God looks at me through His Son. While I," and she puts it in capital letters, "knew all that mentally to be true, it took 75 years to rest on it. Who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Resting on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resting. I can face myself. I can admit what I am still. I can confess my sins to the very God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I confess my sins to Him, I find myself in the absolute wonder of His love and acceptance for me. I don't have to put on airs. I don't have to manufacture works. I don't have to manufacture, look how good I do. I rest. Complete rest in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and know myself fully accepted by God in Him. Oh God, help us not to lose that. And God, help us to continue to emphasize what the Hebrew writer said to them. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." How important that is. Oh God, help us. I just think of that man. And I don't know the man. I've looked at some things and a YouTube video clip of the man, and you could see him, boy, with his wife next to him talking about his work. And then there she is. One of the things I noticed is no makeup. You know, no earrings. No, not to say that I'm promoting makeup, even though I do find it wonderful to see our sisters. But anyway, you know that typical, the man, you know, in the head, and he speaks, in the wind, and then the wife there, long hair, and no makeup, and no jewelry, you know, and she's so quiet. And then she says, finally he says, "Now, I'm going to allow," I forget what her name was, but Jessica. I'll allow Jessica, I want her to answer this question. She begins to speak. And I'm looking at that whole picture, and you know, the missionary, and that's the man that married another woman. And when she got pregnant, panic, fear, what's going to happen? Everybody going to find out? Lord, help me. Lord, preserve us all. Lord, help us to encourage one another in you. It is a good thing for the heart to be established in
grace.
What kind of grace? The grace where I find perfect rest, perfect acceptance in the person and the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can confess the horror of my thoughts, my inner desires, my lack of self-control. I don't need to list all my issues, but I can confess them and know that none of it mars my rest, my standing, my acceptance with you. I'll close with the Exodus 19 passage that is so helpful. I hope this is clicking. I hope it clicks. But you know that tendency. Look how well we look. Exodus 19. He commands Moses to tell the children of Israel. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, not the house of Israel, the house of Jacob. And who was Jacob? Wow. But what a supplanter. What a conniver. What a cheat. What? Don't you tell the house of Jacob. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and I'll bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God wanted me for himself. Oh, the wonder. I can't change that. That man with what he did there in Liberia, can't change it. God help me enjoy it. God help me believe it. And then he goes on, he says to them, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. When was the last time that you took time to think of yourself as God's peculiar treasure? You need to. You need to. And as you meditate and ponder it and contemplate it and embrace it with all your heart, let it fill you with the wonders of how much Christ loved you and what it cost Christ to do that for the likes of you and me. But I sit here tonight with all my sins and my faults and my failures. I am God's own personal treasure. God help us to see ourselves like that. How it sets us and allows us to face reality of what we still are. And on the wonders of it, not give up this fight against sin. And a sin that we're so prone to fall into when we think we stand. We owe it all to Jesus Christ. So, Noah got drunk. Brought, disdain on the people of God. We've all done it. Let's admit it. And let's then think of the New Testament, Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine. That's noble. But be ye constantly and continually. Be filled with the Spirit. Meaning, not I, but Christ. Not me standing. Not me doing good. No. That kind of mentality takes you to the sin. The likes of me needs to constantly and always be immersed with the Spirit. one of the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit is he pours out the sense of the love of God in our lives. God help us to be what we should be. It is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. Would you close us in prayer, please?